And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Gospel for today, Trinity 20, Jesus tells a parable involving a wedding banquet in which many were invited, but rejected their invitation. Of course, when Jesus was speaking this parable to his present company, when the parable was told, the invited ones were easily interpreted to be the Jews, who, being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, decided to cast their invitation aside for the most part and prefer to wait for some other wedding, perhaps a better wedding. In the parable, though, the rejection of the invitation causes an extreme response. The parable is told by Jesus in both the Gospel according to St. Luke and also St. Matthew. And while in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the servants are simply sent out to invite new guests to the wedding, in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the servants of God are not only given excuses left and right as to why they're not able to come, but the servants abuse and even kill the servants who deliver the invitation. The parable becomes a little odd with that abuse. Hearing this, the loss of his servants, the king who is host of the banquet is so insulted by this refusal and the violence that he has their city burned to the ground. This invitation to a banquet is becoming quite a train wreck. I have no doubt that Jesus told this parable, as he probably told many of his parables, many times to different audiences at different times, and no doubt adjusted the content of the story depending on who was in the congregation, depending on who was gathered to listen to him. I certainly wish I could have been there to see the difference in audience and why he changed some of his stories a little bit depending on who was there. And I would have loved most of all to see the reaction on the faces of those who were hearing Jesus give these parables. But nevertheless, in both versions of this parable, the refusal to accept the invitation does not result in the cancellation of the banquet. But instead, the refusal by the first invitation engenders a second invitation. And this time, the servants are sent out to get everyone that they see. And interestingly, in the book of Matthew, the wedding hall was filled with people both bad and good. I think that's encouraging. From the highways and the hedges, as the song goes, not from the city, perhaps, dare we say it, country people. And the banquet was full. It is a scene that served as a warning to the Jews who were prepared to reject their invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to the body of Christ. But it was also a scene that granted great hope to the Gentiles who were listening. And truly, it reveals how the grace of God is offered to all. It is the reason that we are free to be Christians here this morning. An invitation was sent out to us as well. And thank goodness, we've answered. And that's enough of a sermon right there. But St. Matthew's account includes in the next few sentences something that Jesus says that is, you could say, disturbing as well. Then the king enters that banquet which was finally full with both bad and good, and his eye is drawn to one guest in particular, a guest who was not wearing the wedding garment. Now, if there was ever something for you to study that was not the New Testament, but was about the New Testament, a part of the setting, it would be Hebrew weddings. The wedding scene comes up a number of times. In fact, the wedding scene is the very picture of the church, the bride and the groom and the wedding banquet. The end of all things is described as a wedding banquet. But about the garment, Jesus doesn't clarify this. We have to sort of learn it on our own. Probably those who were first reading Matthew knew exactly what this meant. But when you were invited to a Hebrew wedding, the groom would provide wedding garments for those who were invited. And this one was called, and Jesus doesn't clarify whether he was given a wedding garment and just didn't bother to wear it, or whether it's supposed to be that he never really received the invitation or something like that. Jesus doesn't clarify, but either way, he is caught attending the wedding in an unworthy manner, and he is confronted and is speechless. And in a seemingly graceless way, the king casts him out into darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, whatever the wedding garment is meant to symbolize, it seems to be something of great importance and ultimate concern. And Jesus doesn't clarify the situation for us explicitly. And so we turn to a couple of the most important theologians of the church to hear what they say. First of all, St. Chrysostom, a church father of the 4th century. He interprets the garment to symbolize something like discipline. And he writes, "For the garment is life and practice. The calling was of grace, the invitation. Wherefore then does he take a strict account if the invitation is of grace? Because although to be called and to be cleansed was of grace, yet when called and clothed in clean garments, to continue keeping them so, this is of the diligence of them that are called." This makes a good bit of sense. When we are called to be a part of the body of Christ, there is nothing about that calling that comes to us as a result of our own shining righteousness and purity, but rather it is the grace and mercy of God. We're brought into the banquet table of the Lord under the banner of his great love. But to take this incorporation into the body of Christ lightly and try to play both sides, to take the invitation and the open arms of God as cheap, worthless, is to invite the attention of the Lord and expect him to ask sooner or later, essentially, what do you think you're doing? Where is your wedding garment that I gave you? The scene that Jesus paints is meant to be a warning. The followers of Christ are not always to be asking, what is the least that I can do? Where is the boundary? Where is the farthest I can get from this banquet table and still be a part of the family of God? It's the wrong question. We are meant to give our lives to him as he gave his life to us. It's a wedding feast, not a divorce. St. Augustine agrees with St. Chrysostom, but comes at it from a different angle. He interprets the garment as a garment of love, and he employs the help of St. Paul in his famous chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. St. Augustine writes as if he's having a conversation with St. Paul. "The apostle Paul, in a certain place, has brought me a great collection of excellent things. He has laid them open before me, and I have said to him, 'Show me, if so be you have found among them that wedding garment.' He begins to unfold them one by one and to say," this is St. Paul, "'Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and though I have all knowledge and the gift of prophecy and all faith, so that I could remove mountains, though I distribute all my goods to the poor and give my body to be burned,'" St. Augustine says, "precious garments. Nevertheless, there is not yet here that wedding garment. Now bring out to us the wedding garment. Why do you keep us in suspense, O apostle?" Back to St. Paul. "If," says he, "I have not charity, love, nothing profits me. See the wedding garment. Put it on, you guests, that you may sit down securely." There is an invitation which is of grace. There is a banquet which is prepared for those who receive that grace and respond to it. There is forgiveness. There is welcome. But there is a cooperation with that grace that is required. There is a charity, a love that is not to be set aside. "For without love, nothing profits," says St. Paul. "Without love, it is as if we are clothed not in white robes of the wedding banquet, but in rags. When we neglect charity, when we neglect love, we have presumed upon the grace of God that because we have been invited, it doesn't matter what we do now." And nowhere in the New Testament does it suggest that. St. Augustine says that the question, how are you in this wedding feast without a wedding garment, is Christ asking you, how have you not allowed the covering of the love of God that has covered you to become love in you for others? How can you justify having laid it aside? How will you come to a banquet of love without any love yourself? Chrysostom would say, you have received the invitation by the grace of God. How has your life and practice not been affected by the grace of God? It's not without reason that for this day, the Old Testament passage is the story of Moses, the people of God, and the golden calf. Those who put together the lectionary for morning prayer mean to connect the Old Testament lesson with the gospel for the Holy Eucharist. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the law from God himself. And when he comes down to show everyone the invitation to the wedding banquet, he finds that many who have been invited are not wearing the wedding garment. They are play acting at a wedding feast with a god that they made with their hands out of gold. They had been saved from bondage in Egypt. They had been provided for in the desert. They had received the invitation, but they had let their life and practice become rebellion and a new god. They had let their love for God sour into boredom and ungratefulness. And in a very graceless way, Moses grinds up the bale and makes them drink it mixed with water. God speaks a fearful thing to Moses, even after Moses pleads for mercy upon them. He says of these ones a similar message to that which is found said about the one without the wedding garment. God says, when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. The two stories are not dissimilar, and it's most certainly the same God, and we are most certainly also the people of God who have received an invitation, who have accepted it, who have approached the wedding banquet, have been forgiven for all that has passed. But in this very present moment, how will he find us? Are we interested in the life of practicing charity, of love? Have we endeavored to keep clean the wedding garment of love that he has clothed us with? And think of how our liturgy begins. We begin with a summary of the law. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself. And the first response you give is, Lord, have mercy upon us. In other words, clean this wedding garment in any place that I've stained it. Have mercy upon me. I want to be a part of this wedding feast that is about to begin. St. Paul exhorts us today to live in the present moment and to see that you walk circumspectly. Think of that advice. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, not drunk with wine, but filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things. Sounds like a life of discipline and love. May we use our time wisely. May we come to the wedding feast. May we show him the places where we need this cleansing again. And may we not wander from the feast that is set before us, asking, where are the boundaries? How far away can I be? For this is a wedding feast of pure and divine grace, of pure and divine love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.